pitch to the Center Circle studio. Tim Van Horn goes studs up into the soccer world where no one is safe. The 18-yard box is wall-free. This is My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey with your manager, Tim Van Horn.
Don't look now, but the Champions League group stage is nearly halfway over, and there are some gigantic names that are already in trouble.
Well, speaking of trouble, there's some trouble brewing in the Premier League with the Big Six.
We're going to talk Big Six, and we're going to talk about that big matchup that you and I kept a keen eye on, that Arsenal-Manchester United match. We'll talk about the golden boot, although really, maybe it should be just the golden flip-flop or something. Yeah. I mean, it's not chock full of goals this year.
Right.
And then we're going to take a look, of course, around Europe. We'll take a look at the domestics as well, including the U.S. national team, some call-ups, some new names, and actually going where they haven't gone in nearly a quarter of a century.
We also have to hash out this USL thing.
Yes, it is a thing. We're going to talk about that thing coming up. Brody Scott and I are standing in the tunnel. Boots are laced up. Shin guards are ready. Socks are pulled up at least a shin high. Yeah. No goalie socks on. Not up to the mid-thigh. He's Brody. I'm Tim. This is My Three Subs.
We'll be back with today's kickoff from the Center Circle Studios. This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
When you're buying or selling a home, it can be one of the most stressful times of your life. When you're purchasing a home, it's one of the biggest investments you'll ever make, and you want to get it right, and you want to know that you got it at a fair price and not have buyer's remorse as you're moving those boxes into the house. If you're selling, you want to make sure you get a good price for it, and you're able to move on quickly and move on to your next stop in life. I'm Tim Van Horn, licensed realtor in Tennessee and Mississippi with Cry Like Realtors. My number is 901-756-8900 in my office, or you can always call me on my cell at 901-262-5000. I'm relocation certified, and whether you're moving around the block or around the world, I can help you get where you're going. If you're thinking of selling your home, give me a call. I'll put together a marketing plan that'll help you put that sold sign in the front yard faster. If you're thinking of buying a home, give me a call or check me out online at timvanhorn.com for a personalized home search. And I never, I mean never, charge a fee to work with buyers. So give me a call at my office, 901-756-8900, or on my cell at 262-5000. You can always find me on the website at timvanhorn.com. That's timvanhorn.com. For Tim Van Horn, Cry Like Realtors.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. We're underway from the Center Circle Studios.
Welcome to our birthday episode of My Three Subs. 1 year in, and we were so cute in our pictures.
I know.
It was so nice. And we're happy to be here with you for year number two. And oh, what a year it's been. We've gone from three subs to five subs.
Well, yeah, and timeouts and water breaks and in between the half. I mean,
we haven't gotten to potty breaks just yet, but if there's ever a boil order on water, they'll probably need to have potty breaks too.
We're getting there.
During the match. But don't blink. This week wraps up the halfway point of the Champions League group stages.
I know, it's weird, right?
Dude,
it feels so short.
It's so nuts because you've got some teams that are already looking at having a few issues trying to get out of the table. I'm looking at what's going on in the UEFA Champions League. So this is, as we record, this is the beginning of match day three. And looking at Group A, I mean, Bayern Munich is already looking good. Atalanta is looking good. Atletico Madrid is looking good in Group A. As we look down into Group B, that's when things get interesting because it's Inter and Real Madrid that are at the bottom of the table on day two, and they play each other as we record this today.
Battle of the Boar.
Man.
Because they have been less than spectacular on the pitch. And I don't know what the problem is. You know, where do you pinpoint the problem with either of those clubs? And I don't know. Is it just lack of, period?
You've seen during the pandemic, and as the players come back, some guys have taken to the current norm well. Others just have not. But Inter, after two games, They've got a pair of draws. Mm-hmm. Madrid has a loss and a draw, so they're sitting at 2-1. And really, if one of these teams wins, I mean, that puts them in good shape because, I mean, they're in with Shakhtar Donetsk amongst the group. So, I mean, it's not as if this is they've dug themselves a hole. But at the halfway point, you got to start thinking, okay, we need results right now.
Maybe you should start playing. Just a thought.
Moving down a little bit to Group C. It's going to be interesting because you got Man City, who's 2-0. They got a goal differential of +5. They're looking good there. Porto and Olympiacos are three back at the pace. Marseille is pulling up the rear there. But Man City looking good. And maybe this is the year that Pep finally wins the Champions League for Man City. I mean, that has been the missing piece for the Manchester City puzzle. They've won everything else, but the owners brought him in to win the UEFA Champions League.
Well, and I'm going to say this. It clearly... UEFA, the Champions League, is what the focus is with Man City. I don't think it's in the Premier League right now because it just seems they're not as prepared as they are against, you know, teams that they play in the Champions League. So, and when it comes down to it, if you're wondering, you know, I think last season we were talking about is Pep in with Man City. You know, is he fully into this? Maybe he goes back to Barcelona. He kind of put that to rest.
He is
completely in with this Man City club. So, I think you're going to have a full buy-in with the Champions League here from Pep.
Group D is a very tough one. Big match today. Atalanta takes on Liverpool, the top two clubs in the table. Liverpool unblemished at 2-0 with no goals conceded. Atalanta with 4 points. Then you have Ajax that's lagging back in third, who can hang with anybody at any time. Yeah. And then you've got another team who I cannot pronounce, and they'll be done in 3 or 4 weeks anyway. So
doesn't matter because the rest of their group is ridiculous.
Then you've got Group E, Chelsea and Sevilla. They're at the top at 4 points, looking good in Group E. Lazio, Bruges, Dortmund all within a point of each other. Zenit St. Petersburg is at the bottom of Group F, but Lazio looks good. I think Bruges and Dortmund, when they go head-to-head, I think that's going to be a good one to see who can jockey themselves into position amongst the top two.
My vote would be Dortmund.
I think so. They've got the experience to do that. Gio Reyna looks good, and they've got just so much talent at Dortmund, but don't count out Lazio either. Ciro Immobile there. He's been scoring goals by the buckets in 2019 and into 2020. Group G, Barcelona and Juventus. Ronaldo is back.
Yes. Oh boy, is he back.
He picked up a couple of goals on his return.
A brace on his back.
From the Rona. But Barcelona looks good with Ronald Koeman, who still probably has to look over his shoulder because you do have potential future presidents of Barcelona that have already said, well, one of the things I'm going to do is get rid of the current coach. Which, I mean, you know, you don't buy furniture and you don't hang the pictures when you have future presidents that might be saying that. Another club that's looking great.
And that might be right why Pep came out and talked against Barcelona, coming back to Barcelona.
Maybe so.
Maybe to put that at rest, like, hey, listen, you're not going to come after me.
Yeah.
You know, just go on that.
Could be. That's a very good point. Group H, Manchester United.
They
get up for the Champions League, don't they?
Yeah. They're nowhere to be found in Premier League.
2-0. They're a +6 on the goal differential there. A big match coming up on Wednesday is going to be RB Leipzig and PSG, and they're right now sitting tied 3 points back of Manchester United, and if a club can come out and win that, that's going to put them in a great spot heading into the second half of the group stage, but halfway done this week in the Champions League group stages, so they're moving very quietly, but they're moving very quickly through these stages.
And some are moving better than others, leaving a lot up to, I don't want to say chance in the Premier League or in their respected leagues, but, you know, at least in Champions, they're putting on a show.
Yeah. I'm surprised during this whole time that Ronaldo didn't take selfies in front of a mirror or just take pictures with his shirt off while he's getting a COVID test. It just seems like that would be such something a Ronaldo to thing to do.
Something with a Q-tip up his nose or something.
Ronaldo loves him some Ronaldo. International team news. The U.S., beginning their call-ups for a couple of friendlies this month. Gio Reyna from Dortmund, no surprise there. The son of Claudio will be coming in. Christian Pulisic, he got injured in pre-match warm-up, I think, against Burnley in the last week or so, but he's going to get the call in.
Is that hamstring again?
And then it's
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's a worry. It's a worry wart, and that is something to be, you know, worryful about, you know?
Yeah, it is... It's something to keep an eye on, and also watch out. There's Johnny Cardoso is getting called up for the U.S.
I don't know why I went Kardashian.
I don't know.
Furthest thing from
he is born to Brazilian parents, and he will be he's playing for Internacional for Brazil. He's the first player in nearly a quarter century to get a U.S. call up while playing for a club outside of CONCACAF or UEFA.
Interesting.
He's in CONMEBOL.
That's a new one.
That's a Central and South America.
Oh, TechnoBowl.
And it may also be. I don't know. Maybe some South American bowling alleys. CONMEBOL.
Yeah,
could be. But he's the first.
I'm a chameleon.
Thank you. He's almost 25 years. It's been almost 25 years since they've gone outside the CONCACAF and UEFA.
Good. Range. We need a little flavor.
Yeah, yeah. And then we're gonna keep an eye out for Sebastian Soto, who is also eligible to represent Mexico and Chile. But he is somebody that could be brought into the fold as well. Tyler Adams, Serginho Dest, Weston McKennie, and of course we mentioned Pulisic too. Looks like they're going to be getting some calls up.
Do you think that the U.S. club, the international club team, is more, we'll say, intriguing and enticing than, say, Mexico at this point?
I think
just because you can make a name right now.
You can, but I don't know what our identity is. I don't know who we are as a national team. I barely know who we are as a country.
True. I mean, yeah.
I'm waiting to see us get out there and...
Are we a thing?
Who are we?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but that's my point. Like, you could literally pave the way because there is dirt road right now. There's barely that. So... If you get out there and as a manager, you're like, well, listen, we can't do worse. You know, I guess we technically could. But
let me log on to ussoccer.com because I want to make a donation right now.
Yeah.
We can't do any worse.
I think
that should be the tagline. We cannot do any worse.
And so that being said, listen, these kids coming in, and I say kids because they're 20-somethings, and you can really make a name right now.
Sure.
And etch your name into that history book. Like you saw a couple, 12 years back. What is it now?
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
It's been a minute since 2014 and 2010 World
Tim Cup. Howard saving 5 goals for how many ever goals against Germany, you know?
And Belgium.
And Belgium, right. I mean, that was a big deal. He etched his name forever in those books. You could do that effectively right now with this club.
Yeah.
Because it is just nobody has any kind of inkling as to what this club could do.
And we'll have a chance sooner rather than later to see them. 2 matches in a span of 5 days. On November the 12th, the U.S. men's national team will be taking on Wales, who will not have their manager, Ryan Giggs. He has agreed to step aside for the time being while there are some police issues regarding, I guess, a woman at his house or something, which is not the first time a woman has been at his house. If you remember, he had that years-long affair with his brother's wife.
Oh, right. That's that guy.
His brother, Rodri.
Rodri?
Yeah.
Rodri?
And I think when they had the documentary of the class of 92, I think his wife is still with him.
What?
I think so.
No, come on.
I think so.
You're being silly. She is. I don't know.
And maybe I'm wrong, but he had a wife in that show.
Maybe a wife, but not the same one.
Oh, gosh.
I'd hope not.
Now I got to go all Wikipedia, or maybe the audience could sort that out for us. But, yeah, that's November the 12th against Wales. And then, which makes sense, we're going to travel then to Austria to play Panama on the 16th.
Oh, of course, that makes sense.
Yeah sure.
Why not?
The logistics of that.
2020, baby.
The average age of the club is almost 22 years of age.
At least we can drink.
Zach, what's that?
At least we can drink.
Oh yeah, overseas is it 18 in the European?
Well, some areas
they still drink. Yeah, you still drink. Zach Steffen is on the roster for the first time I think since 2019. And then Tim Weah, I believe, is going to be on the roster too. He had a series of injuries. Of course, you remember his dad, George Weah, who was very good, but he's been playing. Timothy has been representing the U.S. club. So that's the international team, and we'll keep an eye on that. Again, that comes up a couple of games next week, some friendlies. Now, let's get to what you've been just chomping at the bit to get to, and that's to talk about Arsenal and Manchester United in the Premier League. And let me ask you, and then I'm just going to sit back. It's kind of like the call-in show. Yeah. I'll ask you, and then I'll hang up and listen. Okay. Have Arsenal players bought into Mikel Arteta's style of play?
I think you'd have to say yes at this point. Plain out, all out, absolutely yes at this point, because that is a club that is now playing on all cylinders. Finally, you're getting Aubameyang, and we're getting a nice spread of the ball. Shape is being held. It was a very pretty couple outings.
The match ended up in a 1-0 final for Arsenal.
Could have been a lot more.
With a penalty. I think Pogba was guilty of a penalty. He even fessed up, I think, after the match to it being a dumb penalty. But as soccer fans, you all know that even in a 0-0 draw, a 1-0 match can have a lot to offer on display. I thought it was a visually pleasing display for Arsenal. I thought the way they held their lines was especially impressive.
It was a very – listen, anytime you play one of the quote-unquote big six, you're going to get a great match, okay? Especially if you're playing like Arsenal has been playing, which is very, very good football. This is, by the way, the first time Arsenal has beaten one of the quote-unquote big six in like 2,100-something games or days, okay? So it was a big feat. Now, that being said, was there some fault that Man U had? Absolutely. Okay, Man U is not the Man U of yore. Okay, they have yet to win at home in the Premier League.
Ooh, and that's through. They've had six matches in the Premier League. They've got a match in hand.
They have not had a home game this season.
15th behind West Ham.
I mean, Man U this season is one of those clubs that even my brother has said it's tough to watch some matches.
Liverpool, Leicester, Tottenham, Everton, Southampton, Wolves, all within 3 points of each other. There's your top six. Chelsea, Arsenal, Aston Villa, knocking on the door. Manchester City, Newcastle at 11 points. And the key to this is Manchester City also has a match in hand. If they were to win that, that would vault them up to third place in the table. So
and I would argue Chelsea. Yeah, and I would argue Chelsea is on the up and up, especially with their new keeper. He's got 5 clean sheets right now. He just recorded his 5th clean sheet. I'm talking about Mendy, Mendy. So Chelsea, I think, is on the up and up. I think they're looking pretty good. Pulisic is the worry with his hamstrings. What's that doing? It's the same problem that we have with him joining the national
club. He got the jersey, the number 10 jersey. Will that represent the number of matches he plays in this year?
Very possible. Very possible.
I wonder.
Yeah, I have no idea what he's doing. Maybe Pulisic is just like hedging his bet. Like, I'm going to play for a while, so I'm going to sit a bunch of games out and – you know,
I don't know. I hope he can overcome that, because as he gets older,
it's going to get worse.
Easier.
Yeah, it's going to get worse.
Living proof of that. It's not. The recovery time and the ability to recover continues to diminish there. Let's turn our attention, I guess, maybe to, unless you have some final thoughts on the Premier League.
Listen, if you're wanting a lot of goals in the Premier League this season,
watch West Brom play, because they can see like crazy.
Yeah, West Brom is probably who you're going to go after, but just not many. It's pretty much an even spread of who's scoring. I mean, look at your Premier League goals leaders right now.
Yeah, and Liverpool, to your point, and before we get to the top, the goal differential for Liverpool right now is just a +2 after 7 matches. That is mind-boggling. They win, and it's not pretty, and you don't have to win pretty to catch all 3 points. But
they're conceding 15. I think they've conceded 15.
They've conceded 15. They've scored 17. But even, you know, Leicester and Tottenham are a +8, +9 respectively. And it's such a weird year, because you go all the way down to 14th, and West Ham is a +3. Just above them, Crystal Palace is a -3. You've got Man U at a -4. Yeah, I mean,
it's weird, right?
It is so totally in line with what 2020 has offered up for us. But as you mentioned, the top of the gold table right now, the golden boot race,
it's weird.
It's more like a snail's crawl,
right? Because your leader has three, and that's Zuma from Chelsea,
who is also the one Paw Patrol member that actually gets out on the water as well with the is that the hovercraft?
Yeah, Zuma? Yeah,
Zuma.
But if you're looking for, you know, your typical names, Aubameyang, Firmino, nope, they've got one lone goal.
And if you look at the number of shots taken, Aubameyang right now, and I kid you not, I wanted to, and this is a stark comparison to tell you how ineffective he has been thus far with the big contract. He has the same number of shots on goal as Harry Maguire.
Yeah.
And that's saying something.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, okay. But then what you start looking at, they're spreading the ball around and at Arsenal. They're spreading the ball around in these other places. You're not seeing your atypical people take the shots, because Aubameyang at one time was like triple, quadruple. There's like four hats on the guy. You know, so there's got to be somebody else open, right? And typically there is to take the shots, especially at Arsenal. Second place, though, in leading the Premier League goals is Rashford. So he's got two.
I love that guy.
I do, too.
He is such – what he has done to bring awareness to hunger, mm-hmm. and the way he has approached government, I love Marcus Rashford, and I wish every good thing for him.
I don't think that we – remember the name, because he will be around for a long time.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, Zuma in first over at Chelsea, Rashford in second with two, and then Aubameyang and Firmino, both with a goal. And there's a whole bunch of other people with a goal. And that's it as far as your Premier League goal score winners for that golden boot.
Jeez.
It just does not exist right now. So it's just a different league right now. You know, 2020 is weird, man.
Yeah, it's nuts. So we move from the Premier League, and we just touched very briefly on the fact that Cristiano Ronaldo is back. The league needs him.
Yes.
But with Juventus, of course, they're very busy right now, getting ready for Champions League action this week. But there's a bit to discuss in that league. And you noticed over the last year, I think I've garnered at least a little bit of an affinity for that league, just because Lazio has come along. Atalanta looks very respectable and seems like they could go toe-to-toe with anybody in Europe. And AC Milan, the renaissance that they've had has been incredible under Gattuso.
Yeah.
They've been incredible. They are undefeated through six. They're sitting atop at 16 points. Sassuolo somehow is in second at 14. I'm not sure how to correctly pronounce their name, so I'm hoping that they drop down so I don't have to say their names as much. And then you've got Juventus.
Thank God you said it, because if I would have said it, we probably needed to put an explicit mark on it.
By the time we get down to the bottom of the top 10, Lazio sits 10th with 10 points, but there's just six points back right now.
Right.
And every single team in the top 10, with the exception of Lazio, have a positive goal differential. Everybody beneath that has a negative. Lazio with a minus two, so they've conceded maybe just a little too much, but Inter's in the mix. Roma's in the mix in the top 10. Napoli, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Napoli as well. They had a bit of a renaissance last year.
They did.
But Cristiano Ronaldo picking up a brace at the weekend, and they very much needed that.
Yeah, they're going to start just catapulting themselves, Juventus will, so it's going to be fun.
It will be fun. Spanish, the La Liga, top of that, I'm looking through the standings here, and Real Sociedad sitting top right now, 17 points. Real Madrid, 1 point off of the pace. Where is looking? Oh, there's Barcelona in 12th. They are 9 points back, and I guarantee you
they're in trouble though.
Oh, all hell is breaking loose.
Yeah.
In Barcelona, because one, you already had a divisive choice.
Mm-hmm.
Why I'm not? I don't know why it was so divisive. I guess the pining for the return of Guardiola, but Ronald Koeman, who has been not just a terrific coach in many jobs that he's had, but he's also a legendary player in Barcelona,
right?
Which oftentimes Zidane proves that you can come back home and coach. He proved that.
Pep did it. I mean, Pep went home.
Yeah, and Pep went home as well.
He says he's never going back. He said he's never going back to manage, but he'll go back and watch the game.
Yeah. This is going to be interesting for a bit. Hey, by the way, Atletico Madrid sitting fourth.
You think that's the problem? Do you think there's such a problem at the top that it leaves such a bad taste in the guys' mouths and managers' mouths that they just, you know what? I'm not coming back to this. This is silly.
Oh, it could be. I mean, if you've had a bad experience with a previous employer and there's a job opening, I would guess 99 out of 100 people would be very, you know, unless your economic circumstances dictated, you definitely think twice about going back, even with different management.
Yeah.
Because you still,
even though it's home, or even though there's a reason to go back. Pep Guardiola is what I'm referring to.
They could be in the midst of a period of toxic culture.
Yeah.
And that could be the problem for him.
Yeah. There's just a problem.
Or maybe they can't win the league. He's like, screw that.
Screw that. I'm going where the rings are, baby.
I need my dogs. And of course, Messi will be gone at the end of the year, too. So.
Yeah, there's no reason to go back.
Yeah. So maybe just wait to see where Messi goes, and then they go right off into the sunset.
Like little puppies, they follow.
Together, yeah. Let's talk domestic. Let's talk MLS. Playoff standings, the seeding is getting clearer and clearer.
Nashville in it to win it.
Nashville is in, not just the letter N, but they are in the playoffs. They have qualified. And because of the uneven number of clubs, you're going to have essentially from the West, you have the top eight get in.
Yeah.
So that's going to be...
then it's six on the other way, isn't there?
And then you've got six that are guaranteed in, and then I believe the last two come from play-in matches.
Yeah.
And that comes from four clubs. Nashville sits seventh right now, and then you've got New York Red Bulls that are sitting there in eighth, Montreal and Chicago. Atlanta right now is looking in. To give you an idea of just how weird the West is, Portland is on top, Sporting KC, Seattle. That makes sense. Minnesota has been good at 30. But technically sitting in fifth and sixth are LAFC and FC Dallas with 31 points. And I think they're going on points per match.
Okay.
And then they've played 20 matches. Colorado sits seventh at 22 points because they've only had 16 matches. So points per match. Their average is a bit higher than San Jose, who's played five more matches and are sitting at 27 points. So really,
that's new math.
You know, they're doing that damn Common Core over in the Western Conference.
And if you take this block and you divide it by 18.
You know, if FC Dallas has played 20 games and has 31 points, and Minnesota has played 19 games and 30 points,
does the train cross the river?
And how does Chicharito feel about it?
Jeez. What has happened?
By the way, I have
no idea as to how LA is winning a game.
I don't know, man.
LA is terrible. Like, both teams.
But the crazy thing is LAFC is the better of the two teams. The Galaxy are averaging about a point per game.
Well,
they're sitting 10th.
You know, sometimes you have those stinkers that just don't stink that bad. But listen, they're both bad.
Oh, they don't. Yeah, I mean, they're silent but violent, at least with LA Galaxy. Holy mackerel. Real Salt Lake's awful. Houston is not too good as well. They got trounced in the Texas Derby.
Real Salt Lake's problem is their lifeblood is their fan base at home, and they don't have it.
Yeah.
And it's evident. They just cannot function without that driving force behind them. I thought that Tampa Bay and a couple of the other clubs would have been the same way. And Seattle would have been the same way because they are so into it. And you can see the difference. Luckily, we're getting some good matches out of Seattle still. So, in Portland.
It is, I think Seattle's able to work around that because of the investment they've made in players through the years. And they've been able to keep quite a bit of the core together. Let's wrap up on an angry note. Damn it, we got no finale in the USL Championship.
Boy, oh boy.
I was so looking forward to seeing
Phoenix Rising, Tampa Bay, yep. That head-to-head, we were excited, man, and we actually picked that one.
We were excited about that. I think, and both clubs have such a rich history, a rich dominant history in the USL Championship. Something was bound to come to a head, and of course, the big winner was a couple of COVID cases and
nothing.
And so there's no delay. The nope. season is just done. Basically,
copped out.
Co-champions.
Cop out. Come on.
Let me ask you this.
What?
Would Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant share the WWE Championship?
Hell no.
No. Ric Flair share it with Magnum TA?
No.
No.
Way.
Would Jerry Lawler share it with Bill Dundee?
Smack to the chest, no.
No. No.
Come on. These were heavyweights that we were excited to see, that you wanted this Holyfield-Tyson match, you know, because it was going to be a knockout, dragout. Honestly, I would have argued 1-0 after PKs.
And apparently if it were Tyson and Holyfield, not just a nail biter, but an ear biter. That's not where you were going with that. I love you.
So I don't, you know, how do you do this? You know, you've had such a weird season where everybody bent over backwards to, okay, we're going to make amends and we're going to have some fans, no fans, and we're going to do this weird table kind of thing, which I do like, honestly.
I like the groups.
I do like the groups.
There's a lot that they got right.
Yeah, I do like the groups. So I hope they keep that, by the way.
We need to play Birmingham more.
Exactly.
I enjoyed the heck out of those matches.
Make those rivalries, yeah. You know? I mean, we hate each other anyway, so let's do it. And if it wasn't Birmingham, let's do it in Nashville. But anyway, beside the point, they did get some things right, but after all of that is said and done, the dust has settled. We're here in the finals, and then all of a sudden you're going to sit there and say, too bad.
Well, now,
everybody wins.
Well, and now we're going to be waiting for more and wanting for more because this is going to be an epic final. And who knows what the reasons were. Maybe there were player contracts that were set to expire by a certain date. Maybe they could not get that done.
Maybe.
I will always allow for an explanation. Fair enough.
But give us that explanation.
But it's disappointing because I thought it was going to be a great national showcase.
It should have been a great national showcase. And I think that we, as fans of the USL, are deserved an explanation as to, hey, listen, after the waiting period of COVID, there's going to be player contracts that are up, if that was the case. And this is the reason why we cannot continue on with the final.
And let me opine on this because this is not fact-based. This is just me wondering aloud regarding COVID and vaccines and health departments and safety. You know, I wonder aloud if the season will even begin next March or if it will be deferred and maybe contracted just a little bit. Again, I haven't heard anything. I'm just wondering if that's got to happen because
how can you?
These clubs have taken a bloodbath on the financial side of things.
If you're a manager, would you want to sit there and start in March when it's supposed to, only to have it shut down another 2 weeks later?
If I'm Ben Pyramid, I'm heck yeah because I want the job.
Well,
right now.
Listen, yeah, absolutely. But if I'm the owner of a club. And I'm sitting there, okay, I have this many weeks to make money, and we're looking at losing money now because of so many weeks, because of contracts and everything like that, where we're not getting any production out of our players. No, I don't want that. Start later, that way I can sign a contract later.
And that's the thing about second division football is that, and it's almost, it's not a dirty little secret. I mean, if you just follow supply and demand, there will always be players that are willing to work on a budget.
Sure.
To come in and chase their dream.
Absolutely. But you can't bank on it.
No, you can't bank on it, but you can, yeah. Hey, there are ways that you can do that, but you can see that there are clubs, and I know Memphis and I don't want to see here, and invested significantly in the 2020 season. Mm-hmm. And because of the coronavirus and the way, just the poor start after everything got started back.
The season got weird.
Yeah, it got weird. They didn't get the return on the investment, but make no mistake, there was intent there. Mm-hmm. To improve the club.
Absolutely.
And technically, when the dust settled, they did average more points per game than they did the previous season.
There was a betterment.
It was incremental.
Yeah,
but it was there.
It was there. And I think even in this 2021 season, you're going to see an incremental boost in Memphis because of the changes that were made here at the end of the season. So – where do we go from here, USL? Do we sit here and say, okay, well, we'll hold on in March and we'll just watch and wait with bated breath? Or do you come out and be up front? And I would argue that the fan base now, especially after this final debacle, would you owe it to us to at least say, okay, listen, we're going to hedge our bet. We're starting in May. Or we're starting in June.
If they're going to do it, this is the year to do it, because you've had such changes. Now's the time to, if you're going to implement a change,
do it.
Do it now and implement it next year. And if they do that, it logically does make sense.
Yes.
It makes sense. But again, I'm jumping down a rabbit hole in which I have no factual information, but just looking ahead and knowing how much that I enjoy the league, how much I love the league, and I want to see it continue to thrive. I do wonder, okay, well, when does the first whistle, kick off the 2021 season?
And it's fun to get excited about the USL League, especially when you can watch a player and grow with that player and then see him go on to the MLS and do things, namely in Chicago, right? And you're looking at these other players that you feel like you grew up with them. You have a bond with them. You're like, hey, that's my boy.
Well, and I'm now scrolling and looking at the box scores for LAFC or catching a match to see if I see Mark Segbers come in.
Exactly.
As well. You've got Elliot Collier in Chicago.
And they would do well for Segbers right now.
Yeah.
Believe me, they could use them.
Yeah, yeah. So I can't wait till the 2021 season, and hopefully it will come sooner rather than later, but
I think at this point, though, you can't hold your breath.
No, and I think you can say that about any sports league, right?
Sure.
So, but yeah, I'm ready for it to come back. That's my disappointment comes from, and I think it's from yours too, just our enthusiasm and just having the matches and just getting to flip on ESPN Plus and having like 10 matches at your disposal.
Man,
I mean, that's
great.
I mean, that's just the best.
Yeah. Yeah. But now here at the end, when it's all come to the head here, having the rug pulled out from under your feet, that's a letdown.
Yeah.
Like, that's the letdown that you were not wanting. And honestly, you were sitting there going, it could happen. We all knew that this could happen, but here we are.
Dang it, USL, quit putting out such a compelling product.
Stupid
USL. No, we can't wait for 2021. Catch us online at my3subspodcast.com, at my3subspodcast on Twitter and on Facebook, my3subssoccerpod on Instagram, and my3subspodcast@gmail.com. We've got tons of great interviews, and you can scroll back and catch every single one of them. Year one in the books, year two now. We have kicked off, Brody. It is it's been a fun first year. I'm looking to. We are going into the wilderness now, the soccer wilderness, to see what the world holds next. Things were just so certain, so true when we started last year. And now, I mean, the world has just changed.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Super shout out and thanks to all of our friends of the podcast. Of course, Brass Door. Can't wait for Seamus to open back up. Also, thank you to Haunted Web of Horrors. They had a great run, great season. Lights Out is this weekend, so there's still some fun to be had over at Haunted Web of Horrors. Here
is that the bare knuckles boxing Lights Out?
You might as well. You might as well. It's scary this year too.
Where is that?
Off of South Perkins.
Okay.
So 240 in South Perkins. If you want more details, go to hauntedweb.com. Let me see here. Anybody else? Oh, and my Tim Van Horn. Go to timvanhorn.com and get signed up for that newsletter.
Sign up for the newsletter. We'll have soccer updates pretty much every week. And, of course, you can listen to our podcast right there from the website at timvanhorn.com. That's going to do it for us. For Brody Scott, I'm Tim Van Horn. Have a great week, and thanks for listening to My Three Subs.
There's the whistle. Thank you for listening. Check out more My Three Subs podcast, A Soccer Odyssey.
Hey, it's Tim. Just reminding you, this podcast is now powered by Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Brody and I want all of our time going into making the podcast as entertaining and as interesting as possible for you. So that's why we ditched our old services, made the switch over to Podcave. This is the complete podcast management, combining all the tools we need to make the best shows we can, to make them available on all the platforms you use, and to always stay connected with you. Podcave provides unlimited audio storage, so all our episodes, new and the old ones, are always available whenever you want them. And our website, it's included and built into Podcave, so you always have a place to find us. It's that easy. Music and soundscapes we use on the show are professionally made and fully licensed by Podcave. We get email and text management tools to stay in touch with you, guest booking tools, episode planning tools. Podcave even includes customizable news feeds so that we can stay on top of the latest headlines with Podcave. It's all in one place, and it's all inclusive for just $49 a month. That's right, $49 a month. Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Save time and money with your first or next podcast. Don't be afraid. Give it a try. Use Podcave. That's podcave.com. That's P-O-D-C-A-V-E, podcave.com.